You will find two passages noted in the bulletin. Both are wonderful passages for a Thanksgiving Sunday or Thanksgiving Eve service. And I'm going to focus, however, this morning on just one of them from the book of Ephesians, chapter 5, verses 15 to 20. And you can find that passage on page 198 in the Pew Bibles. We're going to especially look at the last verse, verse 20. And so if you care to have your Bibles open, that would be a good thing. If not, I'll guide you through it. Listen now to God's Word. Be careful then how you live, not as unwise people, but as wise, making the most of the time, because the days are evil. So do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. As you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves, singing and making melody to the Lord in your hearts, giving thanks to God the Father at all times and for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts, all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Through Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Especially that verse 20, the last verse, giving thanks to God the Father at all times and for everything, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanksgiving is a national day of observance, a wonderful day, I think, for me and for many. It is one of the favorite holidays of our lives, of the year and the cycles of years. It is also, however, a matter of faith. Thanksgiving and faith. Faith and thanksgiving. For example, what does an atheist do with Thanksgiving? To whom is an atheist thankful? An atheist is one who doesn't believe in God. How does one count one's blessings if there isn't someone who is blessing? Well, this isn't an original thought of mine. I read it somewhere along the way, but it seemed like an interesting thing to raise within this context. To whom is one thankful for a beautiful sunset? When we're just overcome with the beauty of the world God has made, the majesty of mountains, the power of oceans, the joy of seeing the birth of a child or holding one's grandchild for the first time. To whom is one thankful? Thanks just seems such a natural response of life and many circumstances of life. It is a matter of faith. For without a belief in God, to whom does one give thanks? How empty not to be able to give thanks for all the blessings of life. The Apostle Paul actually puts this in a somewhat even different frame of reference when he talks about what R.C. Sproul has labeled the psychology of atheism. In the book of Romans, the first chapter, beginning at the 18th verse, we get a section that talks about the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all godlessness and wickedness of those who by their wickedness suppress the truth. This is what Sproul and others have said about this passage, that knowledge of God is out there. And that it takes a particular kind of psychology to deny that knowledge which is there proclaimed by the very creation itself. Ever since the creation of the world, God's eternal power and divine nature, invisible though they are, have been understood and seen through the things that are made, so they are without excuse. And here he says, why? For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him. Thanksgiving is a matter of faith. It's part of what the Apostle Paul in this passage of Scripture portrays for us as part of the judgment of God, is that the very existence of God is not acknowledged, neither is God given thanks. Thanksgiving is such an important part of our faith. Though they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks to Him. I've been rereading the wonderful series by Jan Caron, the Mitford series. Every once in a while, I just dust them off of the shelves and read through. They're easy reads. They're kind of like no-brainer stuff, but it sometimes in life, that's just what you need, you know? And I think I'm in a season of that. Well, in one of the books, Jan Caron quotes a man, a contemporary priest by the name of Patrick Henry Reardon. And she quotes Reardon as saying this: "Suppose for a moment," Reardon had said, "that God began taking from us the many things for which we have failed to give thanks." Let me just repeat that one sentence, I'll go on. "Suppose for a moment that God began taking from us the many things for which we have failed to give thanks. Which of our limbs and faculties would be left? Would I still have my hands and my mind? And what about loved ones? If God were to take from me all those persons and things for which I had not given thanks, who or what would be left of me?" Thanksgiving is a matter of faith. It is an obligation that we have as part of our faith in God. The Apostle Paul tells us, for us, I got to go back to Ephesians now, giving thanks to God the Father. That is an affirmation of our faith. But we are also to be thankful to God the Father in all things, and says the Apostle Paul in this passage, at all times, giving thanks to God the Father at all times. At all times. Not just once a year, not just surrounded by a wonderful meal of thanksgiving, but at all times. Giving thanks to God the Father at all times. In that other passage, which I referenced, and you can see in the bulletin, Philippians 4, the Apostle Paul says, giving thanks in all things at all times. When Paul wrote that latter book, the book of Philippians, he was actually in prison, and still, out of those circumstances, able to give thanks. Karl Barth has said that joy is the simplest form of gratitude. One of the things that has impressed me over the years as I've looked at the way that the holiday itself of Thanksgiving has evolved, and it does have its own history, the way we celebrate it on the particular day in November when we celebrate it, has, and that we celebrate it at all as a national holiday, has evolved. We think of the Pilgrims and Plymouth Plantation, and it was after the first winter that they gathered, and a winter of horrible losses, about half of the colony being wiped out before they got to that point. They gathered together nevertheless to give thanks to God. We think of Abraham Lincoln, who along the way took a significant step in making it a national holiday. In the year 1863, while the Civil War was still going on, in the midst of that horrendous war, called the nation together to gather together for a day of national thanksgiving. And we think of, it was actually in Franklin Roosevelt's presidency in 1941 that the way we celebrate it and know it as an ongoing national holiday on the day of the month that it is, the particular Thursday, that is when it becomes institutionalized, and a lot was going on in 1941. All of those years, all of those decades of the progress toward the national celebration that we have, even on this day, were decades of significant difficulty, of great distress, of great hardship. Nevertheless, Those who have led us in this land and have led us along this path have deemed it necessary for us as a people to make sure that we set aside at least one day, one occasion, when all that's on the agenda, besides a wonderful meal and a little nap after dinner, after the dishes are cleaned up, is to give thanks. Thanksgiving. In all things, at all times. That takes faith to be able to do that. That is a part of our faith. That is a degree of faith, not only to say that we are thankful to God, but that we are thankful to God at all times. I don't always get the opportunity to watch the Today Show. Very early in the morning, I'm able to watch it as I'm having my cup of coffee and bowl of Cheerios in the kitchen in front of the TV. And sometimes as I'm doing some exercise, I watch the Today Show. And if you follow the Today Show, you know that that has evolved into like a several hour extravaganza every day with little different teams that come on at the various hours. Well, in one of the later hours, which I very rarely get to watch, it's frankly not really my cup of tea, Hoda Kotb and Kathy Lee Gifford, some of you might know this, are on, and they kind of wrap up the last hour of the day of this marathon Today Show that's on every weekday. Well, on this particular day, I was on my elliptical machine up in the bedroom, and the TV is there, and so I'm just trying to put in some time and keep occupied. So I'm watching it, and what came on was absolutely fascinating. For Hoda Kotb and Kathy Lee Gifford were honoring an individual that day by the name of Bud Willis. Now, Bud Willis is a former Marine helicopter pilot from Vietnam, flying many missions. And they told his story about a particular incident in which he was called in to life flight somebody out of the battlefield to get medical attention, a young soldier who had significant wounds. All of the details of it, one can only imagine the horror of war, but limbs lost, significant, probably inevitably was going to die. And their job was to transport him back to where medical attention could be given, back to the hospital or the field hospital. Well, they dropped him off and they watched as the medical team came out and carried him away to be tended to, and they were just about ready to take off and go back on and continue with other missions when one of the medical staff came running back to the helicopter with a message from the young soldier to the pilot. And the message was simply this: thanks for the ride. Well, that simple message of thanks in that circumstance had a powerful impact upon this pilot by the name of Bud Willis. And since then, Bud Willis, and by the way, that soldier died. That was probably inevitable. But in telling the story, it had such a profound effect on Bud Willis that soldier would go out of his way, send the medical staff back to the helicopter to express thanks, that he has made it his life mission to give thanks, to express thanks to at least one individual every day of his life. And they were honoring him that day for that life mission, even with a wonderful song that was written just for the occasion. What a life mission that would be for all of us. A life mission statement. What if all of us took this verse of the Apostle Paul, Ephesians 5:20, and made it our life mission? Giving thanks to God the Father at all times. How would it affect our lives? How would it change our lives? That is a significant faith issue, isn't it? To be able to do that. But the Apostle Paul calls us to even a deeper level of faith. For the Apostle Paul tells us that we must give thanks to God the Father at all times and for everything. Prepositions here make all the difference. Thankful to God at all times or in all things, Paul says in that Philippians passage, for everything. Now, many of us know Romans 8:28, and for at least one wonderful member or one person connected with our church family, it's her life verse, that in all things God works together for good for those who love God, who are called according to His purpose. Romans 8:28. What a wonderful verse that is. And to be able to do that takes tremendous faith to acknowledge that. That God is working good in all circumstances. God works all things together for good. It's a tremendous statement of faith. To be able to see that everything that is going on in our life that God will be able to work and is such a wonderful, powerful God that God can take all of those circumstances and work good in them. That takes faith. But what takes even more faith is to not just be able to be thankful for the good that God is going to work out of those circumstances, but to be thankful for the circumstances themselves. That's what the Apostle Paul is calling us to here. And brothers and sisters, that takes tremendous faith. It's one thing to say that I believe and am thankful to God that God will take whatever life has come and thrown our way and will still, as such a sovereign God, that will still be able to work good in them. And it's another thing to look at Romans 8:28 in the translation that I much prefer, that it isn't that in all things God works for good, but rather this: God works all things together for good. God works for good in all things. It may be a subtle difference to you, but it's the difference of this. It's the difference of giving thanks in all things and giving thanks for all things. James says it at the very beginning of his epistle. He says, "My brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of any kind, consider it nothing but joy." What? This takes a level of faith that goes beyond what we normally hear about at Thanksgiving. Paul was in prison when he wrote the wonderful book of Philippians and talking about giving thanks in all things. And he said, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice." Right before the service, what was coming to my mind was a letter that John Calvin had written, and I wish I had thought about it, but I'll take the Holy Spirit's timing as okay before, because I have the letter in my file and I would have pulled it out and read it to you. It's a remarkable letter. And this is an anniversary year coming up for John Calvin, the 500th anniversary of his birth. Calvin married late in life. He married a widow by the name of Edelette de Bure, who already had a child, and Calvin raised that child as his own. But if memory serves me correctly in the letter, he's reflecting upon her death. She had died. And he's reflecting upon a loss of a child of theirs. This is not one you hear a lot about in the records of church history. That the only child they had had together died. which was not uncommon in the 16th century. But he's giving thanks to God for those circumstances. And he says this, I wouldn't have it any other way. That's tremendous faith. It's consistent with what he taught about the providence of God and that God is in control of all aspects of our life. It's one that we struggle with to understand. How God is in control of everything that there is in the world and is still a good God and the problems of evil and all of the necessary ones. But for Calvin and I think for the Apostle Paul, they had such a faith that they could be grateful and thankful to God, certainly to God. That's a significant statement of faith right there. At all times, no matter what was going on in their lives, they still could give thanksgiving to God. But not only at all times, but for all things. How do we ever get there? How do we ever get that kind of faith? Well, I think the key is in the passage itself. Giving thanks to God the Father. Just a few verses earlier, Paul says this about don't get drunk with wine, but rather be filled with the Spirit. There are those prepositions again. Filled with God's Spirit. Giving thanks to God the Father at all times for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I'd like to be there. I struggle with being there. I don't doubt that you struggle with being there also. Thanksgiving is a matter of faith, of degrees of faith, of a level of just acknowledging our blessings from God, to be thankful to God, to be thankful for the blessings of God in all circumstances and for all things. Let me read that verse one last time. It's the last time I'll read it. Giving thanks to God the Father at all times and for everything, filled with the Spirit, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanksgiving is indeed a matter of faith. May God grant us such faith in our giving thanks. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.